All right, lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down with an amazing guest every single week. And this week, I'm joined with someone very, very cool. Someone who adds to the list of creators who speak many other languages, or one other language. We'll see. We'll find out. Today, I'm joined with Link.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm flattered by the introduction, first of all.
No worries.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. To answer my first question there, technically, is about the whole languages. So, obviously, you speak English, you speak Dutch. Do you speak any other languages?
Well, in the Netherlands, it's very common to also learn French and German.
Okay.
But I can say baguette, and I can say scheisse. And those are the only two words from both languages that I remember on top of my head.
Okay, so the essentials got you.
Yeah, I got the essentials.
Nice. That's all that matters. You speak... Yeah. Oh, sorry, go on.
I do speak... Dutch is my main language. I've been speaking my whole life. And English is just also a language that I grew up with once I was on the internet. And it's also very common in our school system to teach our kids English.
Ah, because I've had May on the podcast with May X. Mm-hmm. And like, so when I did the intro there, it just felt a bit weird, the wording, so I didn't want to say it, but now I can go back and kind of correct myself here. It's like, so when I say about the whole multi like speaking people, it's, for instance, like I have like a very few guests who aren't originated like what's the word when you're first language, there you go, that's it, whose first language isn't English. So it's like yourself, Shadoon, with May X, and it's like I'm starting to get a lot more on, which is really cool, because your primary content, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is mainly in Dutch, right?
Yeah, that's true. I started making Dutch content 12 or 13 years ago.
Okay.
And that's because when the first generation of YouTubers in our country, the Netherlands, started making content and also like gaming content, I was like, oh, I should do that as well. I can do that better. And then I started making content. And let's be honest, it was not better than them, but I thought so.
Hey,
so I kept on doing that for a couple of years, and then I learned how to make videos, I learned to edit, learned to make cool stuff, and I did it all in my main language because that's how I started. And I know that for a fact, I tried to make English content too when I was a little younger, and it was really hard for me to do so because my English was worse than it is now. But it was really hard for me to make jokes in English if I wanted to. If I think about something like very funny going on in the game, or a story that I want to tell, I'm like, oh, I can say all this cool stuff. But then I have to translate it as well in English. I'm like, how do I say this correctly in the right sentences? What's everything I need? So that was really hard for me. So I kept it in Dutch. And I have a couple English speaking friends that I occasionally game with, and that mostly goes well.
That's the thing as well though, right? Because you don't want to mix it too much, like the languages that you're doing your content creation in, because then you kind of build mm-hmm. two different audiences. Like if you have two different accounts for it, I guess it's a different story. Like I know May has I don't know what their Dutch account name is, but they do have that. As far as I'm aware, you have an English Twitch account as well, right?
Yeah, I do. I have a VTuber channel as well.
That's it, yeah. But you do content mainly in English, or only in English? Which one is it, mainly or only?
Yeah, it's only English, because I wanted to start VTubing once it was getting a little bit more popular in the West. And I thought it was really cool, so I invested a lot of money and time into designing my VTuber model. I thought it was really cool on how people make content without actually using their faces and doing something different. And once I introduced it to my Dutch audience, they were like, what the fuck is this? I don't know what's going on. I want to see a pretty face. I'm like, okay, I mean, I get that. Thanks, I'm flattered.
You're so beautiful.
Thank you. but they didn't really, I mean, they liked the VTuber model, but they missed just the face cam because, they grew up with it, seeing my face. So I was thinking on how to still do VTubing, but also maintaining my main channel. And that is just making a second channel that I don't do as a job, because streaming and YouTubing is my job. And the VTubing part is just a hobby that I don't really make a lot of money with. It's just something I like to do on the side once I have time to explore a little bit.
That's the thing as well. Like I started doing face cam back in February. So I said this like very rarely, so a lot of people might not know this. So back in February, I got confirmed to be on a TwitchCon panel. So I had a panel at TwitchCon Rotterdam. Mm-hmm. It was like my panel. I was running it. It was great. But so I always wanted this like motivation boost to do face cam, and I was always a little bit nervous to do it. And then when I found out that I was going to be on a panel, I thought, no perfect. I mean, obviously I couldn't tell people until May that I had the panel because it was, you know, thing. But I thought no better excuse to start using, like, doing facecam streams and putting my face out there than the fact that I should prepare for this panel that I'm going to be sitting in front of a crowd of people showing my face. So I started doing, like, facecam streams. And then, like, I remember once I wasn't really fitting up to it, so I did a PNG tuber stream. And even though I've only been doing facecam for about 4 or 5 months, the audience were just so, like, even though they'd watched me during my PNG tuber period, they were like, this feels so weird because we're so used to watching you and seeing your face now that all of a sudden when you take that away, it's like, wow, it's just a moving picture.
Yeah, I think it's really hard for, I mean, there are some people that are really big and do it to make good content without a face cam. There are a few exceptions that are on, I think on the big creation side on English as well. But we have a couple as well here in the Netherlands. We had a duo. They were one of the biggest streamers and I think YouTube content creators for gaming in the Netherlands. Their name was called Lekker Spelen. That means nice gaming, if I translated correctly. That was their Twitch name. And there were two brothers. They were just making fun, but they were anonymous. So they only used their voice, their interaction with each other. And that's what built their community and everything they did without using any face cam. And I think that is very impressive if you can do so.
No, someone you interact with, Slushy VRC, they've been on the podcast. They also are a VTuber as well.
Yeah, that's true.
But they make content in English as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, and it's also, VTubing and not showing your face. I don't know if Slushy's face is publicly known.
It is, because I interviewed them at TwitchCon for a TikTok and they didn't ask me to blur their face. So it is, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. I mean, there's also another content creator, Wolfie, that does Minecraft content.
Yes, they've been on the podcast too.
Yeah. And they don't mind if their face is on as well, as far as I know. But
as long as they're wearing a mask. If they're wearing a mask, they're fine.
Yeah. But if they're streaming themselves, they're not opening up the camera or anything. I think most of them only show maybe hands cam if they're doing something epic in speedrunning or something. Yeah.
We're a little bit past it now. I'm going to ask it anyways, because I realize I never asked it. It's a habit. It's a tradition. I have to for the podcast.
Okay.
For the intro, which, we're very much past, I always like to give this opportunity for you to introduce yourself. So who are you?
Of course, yeah.
What do you do?
A little bit of a tangent.
And if you have a fun fact, either about yourself or in general.
Oh, my God. Oh,
we went on a big tangent. If you don't have a fun fact, I have a filler one for you, so it's okay.
All right. Well, to introduce myself, my name is Link. I go online as Link Tiger. But if I introduce myself to the English people, I would say Link Tiger. It's just the animal, but we pronounce it as Tiger, and you say Tiger. So I'm fine with both of them. I do content creation for, I think, over 13 years. Started with doing a lot of YouTube, now doing a lot of streaming as well. It's my full-time job for, I think, so many years. And fun fact about me is that my audience, I think most of them are younger than the bird that I have.
What's your bird's name?
His name is Coco.
That's the same name as my rabbit.
Oh my God. You stole that from him.
How old's your bird?
He is 16 years old.
I did as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't really know Coco's age, but we think he's about 13.
Oh, I mean, that's also already old.
It is, but it's not as old as your bird. So I did steal the name. I'm so sorry.
You're forgiven, but not forgotten.
I'm also sorry about something else as well.
Oh my God.
So I did a little TikTok talking about the MTC Twitch Rivals EU teams and referring it, I was naming people and I made a few name pronunciation mistakes. Like last week I had someone called Michaela Dark Eyebrows on the podcast and I pronounced that name during it as Michela for some bizarre reason. For you, and I know you said it's fine, but still, I pronounced your name Link Tiger. I didn't even attempt, you know, and I feel bad. So I want to make up for it now and I want to attempt to say your name properly. I will go back to calling you Link after this. Can you say your name again, just so I get a reminder here?
It's Link Tiger.
Link Tiger.
Yeah. It's the Dutch G. The G. We are Link Tiger. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. But I've avenged myself very quickly.
Yeah. But I know that, like, I think 95% of the people that see my name that are English speaking, they would just say it as Link Tiger, and I'm completely fine with it.
I think I actually did say, maybe I said Link Tiger. I might have said that.
Oh, no. That's just butchering it.
I can't remember. I should have fact-checked myself. The podcast used to have a format of asking, like, the basic questions, the boring questions, and then getting into the more fun questions. But to be honest, because because of the talk we're having, we might as well just keep the flow going and talk about TwitchCon. Yeah. I know it's really early, but I think it's always a fun topic to bring up when I have Twitch streamers on a podcast, and especially because you were there. And also, I have a fun story for you about TwitchCon. This is what I mentioned before the podcast. So it's nothing crazy. So on the first day of TwitchCon, so what I typically do when TwitchCon is in Rotterdam, we go in on Friday and then we go home on the Tuesday, pretty much every single time. We did it last year and we did it this year, me and my partner. So, and I think it was the Friday. It might have been the Saturday, but I'm pretty convinced it was the Friday because it's badge pickup. We were on the same train going into TwitchCon, and I recognized you, and I knew who you were, but something kept telling me that it wasn't you. And I guess it's not really a fun fact, man. It's just more of me being silly. And you're walking around, and you have your I'm gonna butcher the name. Winraw bag. How do you pronounce it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so you had this, like, I think it's pronounced Winraw. I'm sorry if I'm fixing it a little bit. You had that bag, and I remember you going down the escalator, and I don't know if we locked eyes at any point, but I kept just looking at you. Sorry, it sounds really weird. It doesn't mean to me. But I kept looking at you, and I said to my partner, I think that's Link. She was like, just go up and ask him. I asked them, and I was like, but I don't know. And I think, because I obviously I've seen a bit of your content, but without being, like, an avid fan, it's why I don't go to meet and greets, because I don't really watch people's content, like, fully. It feels a bit weird going up to them and being like, oh my god, are you? And if you are, I didn't really have much of a conversation build on, because we didn't know each other. It's like, I kept looking, I was like, I want to go up to him. She's like, just go up. I was like, no. And I just kept staring at you. And I think at one point we looked eyes. I just looked away and carried on walking. And it was just like, that's it. That's pretty much the story. It's just funny that, like, I saw you and I had the opportunity and I just didn't.
Yeah, I think if you start up the conversation, in my mind, I would be like, how do you know me? Because I make Dutch content. And if I get approached by someone who doesn't speak Dutch, I'm mostly looking around in my head like, all right, what are the places that I might know you or have you seen me? Because I'm normally not on a lot of English speaking platform, so I would for sure ask those questions first of all.
There were two, so to answer your question for the sake of it here, because obviously I've invited you on the podcast, so I knew you. One of them was because of MCC, just seeing you announce on MCC, but I'd also known your name before because obviously I interacted with Mayex and Wolfie and a few other people, but you've also played in a few Minecraft events, so in those Minecraft events, you're always on an English-speaking team. Other than, I think he was on a Dutch team for a Bayern battle one time. But aside from that, you're normally on an English-speaking team. So I know, I've seen you, I've heard of you. And after that, I also like to do this thing, and people don't realize this. And I said it on the Shadoon podcast, and a few people were shocked. I like to watch streams even if I can't understand the language. So I'll sometimes like in your streams, I'll sometimes like in Shadoon streams. Even though I don't understand what you're saying, I still enjoy watching it, which is interesting, but it's cool. So
I have that with one German guy that I've met when Pokemon Worlds was in England, and I mean, we became kind of mutuals. We followed each other on Instagram and everything, and I also follow him on YouTube, and he just makes Pokemon content on opening packs. And I don't speak German, but the Netherlands, this Dutch and German are a little bit similar in certain words and how you pronounce things. So if I watch one of his videos, sometimes feels like I'm watching a Dutch guy talking on 2x speed. So I can get a little bit of information going on, and sometimes he puts a little bit of English there in as well, because normally when I talk Dutch, I also tell a little bit of English inside of my vocabulary. So I can still understand it a little bit, and I get maybe that's the same for you. If I talk on my stream or someone else talks on their stream and you don't know their language, they sometimes put out words that you may recognize, or when they say something in English, you can piece it a little bit together what they're talking about.
Yeah, if you hear like the same word to the same reaction, like say you die or something, you have the same reaction over and over again. At one point I can make out what the word means anyways, just because I'd probably be saying that word if I had that reaction kind of thing. I am going to be open about something again as well though. So I have 4.5k channel points in your stream.
Oh damn.
But I've just realized I'm not following.
Damn. Oh my god.
I'm following now, but I didn't want you to like go after this podcast, see that I've just followed you and be like, wow, he was lying about watching me. So I'm being open about it now that I do watch your streams. I just realized that I was never I do this a lot because I lurk a lot. I'll be in like a team on Twitter or something. I'll just open up a stream and just watch it while I edit, but then I'll just never focus, because like most of the time it's sometimes on mute as well, and it's like I never focus on following or like interacting in chat. I'm pretty sure I've never even typed in your chat, but I have 5k channel points without following. So it's a fairly good feat.
Yeah. I have a funny story about that as well. I have so many like mutuals in the Dutch scene because we as Dutchies, we're a small country. There are not like ginormous amount of people that stream in Dutch on Twitch. So we know, I think, almost everyone that has at least like 50 viewers. So, and you have like the panel that shows the channels that you're following, right? And yeah. Under that is like live channels that are suggested channels that you may be like. So I normally look at my following channel and most of the time in the afternoon, nobody is live. So that is like maybe two people are live. So that whole bar shrink down. So I can see a lot of live channels going on. And there are so many people that are mutual with me that are on that tab. and every time I'm joining their stream, I'm like, oh shit, I don't follow them, but I don't want to follow now because I've known them for like 2 or 3 years and it will be a follow of shame. But I've been in their chat, I think 2 or 3 times each week. So I cannot just start on following. And one of the time I was doing In Golf With Your Friends or another game, I think Liar's Bar with someone. And I was putting everyone's Twitch channel in my description on my YouTube video. So I went over to Twitch, I typed in everyone's username, and then I could copy and paste it in the description. And one of the guys, I was like, oh, well, I'm not following, but he's not live streaming, so I could sneak in to follow. So that's what I did. And I kid you not, 10 minutes later, I received a screenshot in my Discord DM of the same guy that told me, bro, are you kidding me? Why are you following me just 10 minutes ago? What's going on? I'm like, I was not sure about this, but I think I never followed you and I don't know why. So he was ranting all about it the next stream he was doing. And he was also streaming with another mutual that I know. So she was like, oh, how dare Link doesn't follow you? Let me just, wait a second. Why does it say that Link is following me for like 5 seconds? I'm like, I was trying to just slip it in there as well because I forgot to follow you too. So I followed 2 friends that team. So
it's also funny because I do the same thing as well. Like every time it happened like 3 times in a row, someone who collaborated with me for the first time on a stream, like I invited them to do like a charity stream or whatever, they'd follow me just before the stream starts. I'm just like, wow. But see, that's why I'd rather be open about it because I didn't want you to end this podcast, see that I just followed you like an hour ago after the podcast being ended, and you're like, mm-hmm. Wow, that liar, they said they watched my streams but they've only just followed me. But you know what, and the fact that I was open about it has led to a funny conversation, so it's a win-win.
That's true. So. I mean, I'm the same. I can blame someone that that does the same thing as me,
but the TwitchCon tour,
I'm a little bit better, so go on.
We were meant to be talking about TwitchCon. how long have you been going to TwitchCons for?
I've been to the first one that was in Europe, when it was in Amsterdam. Then the second one was in Paris, and I didn't go to that one.
The one in 2023, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going on a holiday in Japan, and then after that to Italy.
Oh, nice.
The weekend after that was TwitchCon. I was like, hell no, I'm not going to fucking Paris and lose more money. So I didn't go there. And the year after that was Rotterdam the first time, and the second time Rotterdam. So I've been to 3 out of 4 that were in Europe.
Wait, the first European one was in Paris? Oh, no, the first European one was in Amsterdam.
Amsterdam, yeah, second Paris, and then 2 times Rotterdam.
Wait, so it's only been in Europe since 2022?
Yeah.
I thought it was in Europe for much longer. Oh, my God.
No. As far as I know, that was the first time it was. I mean,
was it not in Germany?
Maybe it was, but I mean, it was not really interested for me to go to Germany because there would be 0 fans or anything going on for me and also my community. So it being hosted in the Netherlands, it was just the first time I was like, oh, cool. I could see all my Twitch mutuals on TwitchCon and meeting a lot of fans as well on the venue. And that's most of the reason I didn't go to Paris as well, because I think none of my viewers wanted to go to Paris anyway. Because they hate the French, so they won't go there.
This isn't me correcting you. I'm just like stating it just so we both know here. So there was a TwitchCon Berlin in 2019.
There was. Okay.
But the one in 2020 was meant to be in Amsterdam, but got cancelled. And then the first one after the return, so 3 years later, was in Amsterdam in 2022. So you're technically right, because pre-COVID was the first one and then it just didn't happen. Uh-huh. So by technicality, based on the yearly streak, you're technically right that the first one was in Amsterdam to set the...
That was the first test. That was the the pilot TwitchCon, and we don't count those.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, it was like before the season got good. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do hope it goes back to Berlin at one point though, because I've been to Berlin twice and I absolutely love it. So I'd love to have another excuse to go back, and that'd be TwitchCon. So.
But obviously you prefer
the Netherlands, which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean it is really close for me. It's also a great point for me to meet other Dutch people. Like the thing is for it's also really good for everyone going overseas, because the Netherlands is like really cute in talking English. For instance, if you go to like France, Paris in general, if you go there as an English speaking person and you don't know French, most of the restaurants or people working there will be like baguette, croissant, and they don't want to talk to you because you're not speaking their native language, and they refuse to talk English. Most people, and that's the difference with us in the Netherlands. We grew up with talking English as well, so we understand it and we can have a conversation with almost everyone there.
That's why
I like it as well.
Yeah, no, I went to Luxembourg last week, last mm-hmm. Monday, and like they obviously speak like German, French, English, and Luxembourgish, and like there they were also like nice and really catering to like the fact that I couldn't speak anything other than English. Mm-hmm. Rotterdam was also the same when we went to me and my partner, because we ate out like places because I can't really eat fast food, and they were all very really really accommodating. And then when I went to Berlin, I have a really good story which I won't say too much, because it's just so unrelated to the podcast. But we went into this like one cheese shop, and it was selling like cheese and alcohol, and I know in Berlin it was like quite common to just walk around the streets drinking alcohol. I didn't really care too much, which was quite fun. So we went in and we bought like cheese and alcohol, and then as I walked out I realized he'd mischarged me. Like, he charged me for the alcohol twice and not the cheese, and the alcohol was cheaper. So I went back in and said like, look, I, you know, this is like £6 cheaper than I meant, €6 cheaper than I meant to pay. Like, can I pay the difference? He's like, no, it's okay. I said, what do you mean? He's like, it's my mistake. It's fine. He's like, it's just leave it. And I was like, oh. And I said to my partner, I said, that I think the reason he was so willing to, I mean, there was two ways I could have gone about it. Either I walked off and I got the discount anyways, or I went back in and he appreciated the honesty, so he gave me the discount. So relatively speaking, it was a win-win, but I felt better going back in and telling him, because I was willing to pay the €6, but you know, he didn't want to take it. So like, even there, like in Berlin, they were quite accommodating to the English language. So whereas I feel like in England they're not always the best, I feel like.
I don't know. I mean, that's really nice of them.
So yeah, sorry, I know I keep kind of steering from the TwitchCon talk here.
try to talk about TwitchCon impossible challenge.
Hey, we're having a fun conversation. I mean, we're just having a nice chat. The podcast over the years, last few months, they're still an interview, but they've kind of just become a chat that gets uploaded to YouTube, and I really like it because I'm still going to interview and ask you questions. But at the same time, we're not rushing. We're not just strict interviewing. We're actually having a nice talk. So I like this. Yeah. But so for the TwitchCon segment here, as we you know, like you said, impossible to talk about. So in regards to Rotterdam, we'll specifically talk about this year. You had quite an eventful one, right? Because you went. How long were you there? Because this is like a 2-part question. Firstly, how far away from Rotterdam do you live? If you're happy to say without doxing yourself,
I can be there within an hour.
Okay, so you didn't stay in a hotel, I imagine, or you did?
I did, but that was because Daddy Twitch gave me a one. So
why did Twitch give you a hotel?
I was the featured streamer of this year, so I was doing a lot of promotion for the event on my own social medias, Instagram, on Twitch as well, telling all my viewers they should come, what they can expect, and I had some obligations to do, which was doing Rivals, and I was like, fuck it, let's do both. So I did I did the Fortnite one, and I did the MCC, and yeah, that's it. That's what things I had to do for Twitch.
So how did the feature streamer, how did that come to be?
I got contacted by the person that does everything for Twitch the Netherlands, but also does a couple other countries. She is from Italy, so she does Italy as well, and a couple other countries.
Okay.
And she's our spoken person if anything goes on in Twitch. If we feel like we have something really cool going on, we can spar with her and tell her, all right, we have a cool idea to grow Twitch a little bit, maybe a huge event, maybe Twitch could help out a little bit on the promotion side, maybe put us on the front page for those hours or some other stuff. And I've been in contact with her for over a year, and she asked me if I wanted to do TwitchCon as a future streamer. So that's how it came to be. And I was like, hell yeah, I wanted to go there anyway, so I can do cool stuff.
Oh, that's actually really sick. That's actually really cool. Yeah. Oh, and I think because your face was on one of the billboards, right?
No, I was not on the billboard.
Was you not?
No. There were a couple people that were featured streamer last year. Some of them are ambassadors from Twitch, and they got featured on the billboard. They didn't ask me for a photo shoot, so I didn't have to go to the hairdresser or anything. So I just had to show up and do the cool things.
I think that's outrageous. Your face should have been plastered everywhere.
Who knows for next year?
Nice.
They exactly. haven't contacted me yet, but
I think it's a little bit too early.
Maybe I will be. Maybe I will be.
You've also, like you briefly mentioned there, you played in two Twitch rivals actually. So we'll talk about the first one the weekend. Fortnite, you said.
Yeah, Fortnite was the first one that I asked to be part of, and that was duos Fortnite tournaments with how many? I think 20 teams of two people. And it was a tournament that competed, I think, around four rounds, one of which was can use all the weapons. Second round was only using close quarter weapons, then only long range. And the last round was pickaxe only. And I had to ask one of my friends to join me in my team. And his name is Duncan. He's a really funny guy. He's actually one of the better people that I know that actually played Fortnite with me. So this is a great fit. I know him for many, many years. And he would also love to compete in a Fortnite tournament with me. So I asked him and he said yes. And we did the tournament.
Did you win?
Let's see. We made a lot of friends along the way. We were kind of washed off. There were a lot of like really good players that competed in the tournament. We had one round that we actually got, I think, second. So that was really cool. But you got a lot of points if you made kills or if you survived longer. And I think in two or three rounds, we actually came across the winning team that actually won the tournament. And they instantly got us. So that was kind of unfortunate. But I mean, participating is more important than winning, I would say.
And then MCC, what about that? Did you win MCC?
Well, funny story about that. Last year, a friend of mine, Jeremy, also a Dutch creator, also participated in MCC in Rotterdam 2. And he actually won the event and he got invited over to do it again. And I got partnered with him on the same team. So we had to carry the crown over to get another W. And we got two other people, one from Australia and one from America. We got Sneak Snack and we got Maddie Milkberry. We got on our team. It was a really fun team.
Yeah,
it was so much chemistry going on. We had a lot of fun. It was really hard for us to practice beforehand because we had like three different time zones going on. Like two of us were from the Netherlands, of course, so Europe, one from Australia and one from America. So getting everyone on at the same time was just impossible. So that was kind of unfortunate. But once we meet each other and it was an instant click, it was really fun. And with that being said, we got 9th out of 10. So we really didn't do so well, but a lot of people predicted me at being the last person overall, like for real. Out of all the 40 people that played Minecraft, I would be last. So I was like, excuse me, there are some people that only play GTA roleplay and you put them above me. So I had to prove them wrong and I got top 30. I think
that's 29
individual. So yeah, I was really proud of myself on that one.
Do you want to know a fun fact about MCC Rotterdam?
Go on.
So you mentioned it there that last year, Jeremy played in MCC Live. On that same team was Wolfie, meaning that two Dutch people won MCC in the Netherlands. Then this year, on the winning team, which was the pink team, was Pangy, who is also Dutch.
Pangy, yeah.
Who's also come on the podcast.
Oh, cool.
I've gotten loads of people on. It's lovely. I love it.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Keeping the Dutch win alive. So technically speaking, when MCC definitely happens in Rotterdam in 2026, whatever team has a Dutch person on. So yeah, so realistically speaking, if you're on a team, you don't want there to be a Dutch person on another team because it reduces your chances of winning. But if there's not...
Yeah, that makes it 50-50, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But if there's not, you 100% win. So look at it that way. Next year when you get in, just say, look, I'm happy to play, but you can't put a Dutch person on on a different team to the team that I'm on.
Well, what we really want is to have the Dutch people be represented a little bit more. I know that for 2 years in a row, there was a full-on German team, and I think it was the same team as well. They got second twice.
Yeah, there's a full Spanish team.
They're really good. They're amazing Minecraft players. They're just bonkers. It's just unfair how good they are. I think I've talked to a couple people from Twitch or TwitchCon in general, and I was like, please make it happen, just a full-on Dutch team. I mean, I love Milkberry, Manny, and I love the Sneaksnack, but I just want a full-on Dutch conversation when we're playing on our own stream. I think that would put on the vibes on way more and having so much more fun for our audiences as well, that just watching the stream, just seeing us talk in our native language and trying to win with that. I think that would be really cool.
Not to put you on the spot here, but if you've probably put a bit of thought into this, so just if you have an answer, if you could, what would that who would the four people be?
I think I cannot left out Jeremy. If I have to be a spot as well.
Jeremy.
I'm on spot one right now.
You have to be in it.
Yeah. So I can't left out Jeremy. I think he's a phenomenal player. He knows a lot of people that also play in Minecraft tournaments as well. He's been doing it 2 times in a row. I see a lot of improvement from his side, from the first tournament until the second one. I see that gameplay has improved a lot, so I think he should be the second one. The third one, funny enough, is going to be Duncan for me, the guy that I also invited for Fortnite. He's just a phenomenal gamer overall. He has a lot of skills. I think in almost every game, he's better than me. If I have to guess at one game that I'm maybe better at is maybe Minesweeper. That's one of the only things I could guess, but he could still count me in that one. So I put him in the third place. And for the fourth one, to be honest, I'm not quite sure. I think it's really hard for me to pick the last one because then I feel like I'm leaving out so many other people. So I'm leaving that one a little bit more open, maybe for the people that are watching that know a lot of Dutch content creators that also do a lot of Minecraft. Maybe they can fill in the fourth spot.
I think if we're given Dutch representation more in a general sense, I know Pangy would fit on another team quite easily. I know Wolfie would fit on another team quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of Dutch people now. Slushy, if they were to play, I think they could fit on another team quite easily. I think May, with May X on your team, would be quite fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But then she has to talk Dutch on our stream.
But she would be fine. She wouldn't mind. I mean, if you're playing in MCC, I'd do anything. I'd learn a different language to play in MCC. I'd whip up Duolingo, Google Translate.
Fourth guy. Hey! Yo!
How do I call out in Dutch? How do I say someone's over there? We can practice, let's say.
Daar is iemand.
Daar is iemand.
Perfect.
Really?
Yeah, I'm on high alert. I'm looking over everywhere.
I'm your fourth. I can't believe we've... Yeah. There you go. We don't need the viewers. Perfect. Okay. All right, I will reach out to Twitch Rivals. You reach out to NotScrew and we can set us up.
All right, perfect.
Got you. Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that after. We can sort out after podcast.
Yeah, we'll do it after.
a typical question about TwitchCon, and we'll move on after this. I realize we've been here for 38 minutes, and I actually haven't really interviewed you too much just yet. What's your favorite part of TwitchCon? It's a very basic question, but I like asking it regardless.
Well, one of the things that I really enjoy is meeting the fans, of course, seeing everyone that are just like usernames in your chat, seeing them in real life, having a face that are the people that actually support you, that watch you, and I think that's really fun. Also, the thing that I really like is also performing on TwitchCon, like both of the rivals that I did. I think that's one of the most amazing experiences that you can have as a content creator, doing the thing that you love, but then live with an audience that cheers you on and feeling that energy. I think that's going to be the second one. And the third one, if I have to choose something, is meeting different creators from different places. Is it Germany? Is it from Ireland or from Spain, that come all over the world and just talk about how Twitch is for them, how is their community, what works for them, what doesn't work for you, spar a little bit, and share your knowledge on everything that you know. And I think that is one of the coolest things that you can have on TwitchCon.
Oh, that's a really nice answer. I like that.
Thank you.
It's pretty much similar to mine. But I also like doing, this year I was quite productive with having having a panel and also casting a football match. So I felt like I kind of got a taste into how content creation would be if it was a full-time job, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thing about this year. I quite enjoyed
it. I love going to TwitchCon with a purpose. I had like two rivals on separate days, so I had to walk in for that particular moment and everything around it. I could just do the other things like meeting people, chilling with other content creators.
I had my one chance to meet you and I threw it. I'm heartbroken.
Yeah. You should have been in the crowd cheering on.
I was. I was in the MCC crowd. I was like sitting fairly near the front, screaming, shouting.
I mean, that was our real connection that we had there.
Exactly. You so many times I looked over at you and I could see you staring at specifically me.
I was pointing.
Yeah, I remember at one point, like, when you got a kill, you, like, stood up, you celebrated, and it's like you paid it to me. It was great. I felt really, like...
My girlfriend will be mad if I say that, because I was actually pointing at her.
No, so
I'm sorry,
no.
I'm sorry to break illusion.
No.
It was at you.
Exactly.
I have to tell her. I have to come clean.
Look, at the end of the day, right, you can always spend time with your girlfriend and thank your girlfriend. You only get to see me, and I only get to see you, in fact, once a year, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Let's talk about how you got into content creation. So obviously we touched on your name at the start, you know, Link Tyra. There you go. Perfect. See, I still got it. Where did the name come from? Why that?
Well, we can just split in half because the first part, Link from The Legend of Zelda, of course.
Okay.
So that's how we got the first part. And the second one was because I played a lot of Neopets. Do you know Neopets?
I will be honest. No, I don't. What is that?
It is a browser game, a kind of a social game, where you can just type in the website Neopets, and then you can build your virtual pet and let them do mini games. And then you can earn in currency money and chat with everyone on the website. It was something that I did when I was a lot younger. I think I was around 10 years old or 12. And then I got on that website, and you could design your own pet with a certain animal or like an alien or anything else, and also add a color that you wanted. So there were a lot of things to choose from. One of them was a dragon. I had a bat. I had a tiger, and the tiger was my favorite. So instead of only calling him Link Tiger, I also called my character name Link Tiger, and the dragon I called Link Dragon, and it's in Dutch, it's Draak, so it was Link Draak. And we had the Link Bat, and in the Dutch is that Link Vleermuis. And I didn't really roll out a lot of my tongue. So I choose Link Tiger as my all-time favorite. And every time I signed up for anything else going on, I used the same username, Link Tiger, in every single game. And also on YouTube. I used it for my Instagram when I was still at school, on Twitter, when it was still called Twitter, on Facebook, everything. And later on, when I still did YouTube on the same account that I made, it was still my username. So I'm glad I didn't choose something more cringe as my first username that I can still use right now as my identity.
Does flow really well, to be fair. Like, yeah. I mean, even in English form here, like Link Tiger flows a lot better than Link Dragon.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, well, there are certain games, for instance, Fortnite. Once Fortnite was actually blowing up, I tried to claim my name, Link Tiger, and it actually got taken by a stupid kid. And once I see you, I will punch you in the face. For real. So that's when I take Link Draak as my second name, and that one was not taken. So on Fortnite, I'm called differently.
Are you not able to like appeal and get the name though? Because I'm pretty sure there's like a way, if you have the name on every single platform ever, where you can just claim the name.
I think so, but we are not. Yeah, I don't have any contact with Epic Games, and I think they don't really give a fuck about Dutch content creators at all.
I think they give a fuck about anyone who isn't famous.
I guess so. We are nothing compared to like so many other content creators, so it would just probably go in the spam folder.
I think you're great, personally.
Thank you so much.
What about your branding? Your profile picture that's being used for the thumbnail and in the and was using announcements and stuff like that. Why is that your profile picture?
That was just a Twitch mode, and I think I change my profile picture every couple of years, I think. And this is one of them that I kept for the longest, because normally if I want to change something as a profile picture, I want it to be better. And for some reason, I just like the color scheme of this particular picture. People are sleeping on the color yellow. I think it's an amazing color. It just jumps out. If you go to Twitch, everyone has a super dark picture and it's not really coming out. And then you see my bright yellow with green saturated picture with a yellow circle going on. And you're like, oh, what's going on there? So yeah, I immediately goes over there. So that's what I did with my profile picture.
I think it looks pretty cool. Fits. I mean, I don't like, so Inside MC has like a few different episodes. So it has like last month Inside MC, which is pink. It has Inside the Video, which is blue. It has Inside MC, which is maroon. I made a joke and I said the next series is going to have to be piss stain yellow. At this rate, because I'm using all the colors. But yeah, you know what? The yellow you use is quite nice. So maybe I just steal it. Maybe I just do the little, the you know, when you color pick, the color pick thing, and I just steal your profile picture.
I think I used the same color yellow for so long, and I actually didn't remember the code. So I have a pixel that I made in Paint with that color on my desktop with the code of the color. I have that here. I'm gonna send you a screenshot.
And I can really steal funny. It. Perfect, thank you.
Yeah, look, there is an icon on my desktop with that color with the code underneath it, so you can show it.
Oh my god, the way that's actually so funny.
Yeah, so I can never that. Forget or lose the color. That
I love that. It's just, it's one of those little things. Like I have I have something similar. Well, like that's it. So I've never mentioned this on a podcast before. So I have an Inside MC folder for what's called for everything. So for I save all the graphics and everything, right? So the Spotify thumbnails, which are just like the profile pictures, but just in a maroon box, right?
Yeah.
For some bizarre reason, I just never changed it. The folder name is just called Bin, and then Bin 2 was for Midweek MC, and Bin 3 is for Inside the Video, and they're all just called Bin. There's like I don't know why I can't remember why I called it Bin, but yeah, that's literally just that's the secret folder name. It has no correlation to the images, but
yeah, you just have to stick with it then.
I just like, yeah, I love little funny things like that where you just have this random pixel or random thing on your desktop, and it's like you either have an explanation for it or you don't, but it's just this thing that just shouldn't really be there, but it's there anyways.
Yeah.
What about content creation? You mentioned how you got into it 12 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, or 13?
Yeah, I think when I was like 13, 14, 15 years, when I was still in high school, I started making stupid videos with friends that I met online. I did a lot of Minecraft shenanigans that I saw other big creators do, like a certain Minecraft map, like the Dropper. And then I was like, hey guys, I found this really cool map. Let's do the same thing and upload it to YouTube and hopefully 10 people will watch it. So that's pretty much how it started. I did that for like a couple years till I actually met the right people to make a lot of good content, and also big content creators that actually helped me grow my channel.
I know you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but what exactly was it that like inspired you to do content creation? You kind of touched on like why you did it or what got you into it, but what exactly kind of like, do you know what I mean when I say that? Like what kind of made you feel like, oh yeah, I want to get into this, I want to do this?
Yeah, I mean, I briefly said a little bit about it, but there was not a lot of gaming content creation in the Netherlands. There was one big channel. It was called Daily HD, if I translate it. It was called Dagelijkse HD, so we call it Daily HD for now, for the English people that are listening. And that was a channel with, I think, 100,000 or so subscribers. It was a lot back in the days. And one of the main guys, his name was Milan, he did a lot of Minecraft stuff, did Amnesia, horror games, and everything in between. And I saw that and was like, damn, I can do that better. even though I couldn't, I just started recording. I watched his Amnesia playthrough, where jump scares were at, and then I actually started playing so I wouldn't be that scared, so I knew what was going on. And then I uploaded my playthrough as well, and it was absolute garbage. My audio was the worst shit ever. I didn't have any face cam, so there was nothing really cool going on. You saw two blue digits in the top right corner for fraps. That's just ate up all my gigabytes on my computer. It was a horrible situation. But that's how I actually started making content for the first time. And later on, I watched a lot of English channels as well. One of my childhood creators that I watched was Sly Fox Hound. I don't know if you know him.
I've seen the name.
Yeah, actually, we're kind of mutuals right now, so that's kind of funny. we hang out sometimes, we play Fortnite, and I did some Minecraft things with him as well. So from a fan to mutuals, I watched a lot of his stuff. And I also sometimes copied a little bit of what things he did for in Minecraft. So sometimes he did Pixelmon, so I started doing Pixelmon. He did some other cool Minecraft maps or different kind of mods that I actually installed too to make content in my own language. And a lot of Dutch viewers didn't watch English people, so I could just almost copy paste everything that was going on to make my own stuff. And later on, once you got the gist of it, you made your own stuff later on with the things you built.
Sorry, I know that was something you kind of mentioned earlier already. I just kind of wanted a bit more for the timestamp here.
Yeah, that's no worries.
I think that's the same way most people get into content creation though, right? Like you see something, you're like, yeah, I can do that better. I can do that. Yeah. I can do that to make real. And it's kind of how the podcast began, because I listened to one creator called Jagmate Happy Hour. I didn't think I could do the podcast better, but I grew up, so my name's Charlie, and I grew up being called Chatterbox Charlie. So like when I saw this podcast and I listened to it, and I was like 80 episodes deep at this point, I was like, yeah, I could do something similar to this. I could yap to people and interview them. And I pretty much did the exact same thing that he's doing, but Minecraft. So
yeah, that's fun. That's how you, I don't see it as like completely stealing. It's just taking an idea and make it your own. And that's the beauty of it, of content creation, to get something and make it better or something unique.
Right. Let's throw a few fun facts at you here. I know I said like I like to do stuff in question form, but I'm going to say some things that I know about you and I want you to build in it, because I don't actually really know this about you. I just had someone give me a lot of facts about you. So, apparently, you used to have a yellow cat ear beanie, which you burnt in a video and cried.
Okay, that is the whole summary of it. But you're missing a lot of context.
Yeah, that's why I'm making the statement and letting you give me the missing pieces here.
Yeah, of course. As I said, like yellow is one of the best colors. And I had a yellow beanie. I don't know why I had it, but I had it in my house. And sometimes when I was making YouTube content, I didn't want to do my hair. So the easy part was just putting on the beanie and I would look exactly the same every single time. So that's why I started wearing that beanie. And it actually became a little bit of an iconic thing. When you saw me, it was like the guy with the yellow beanie. So eventually, after a couple of years wearing that same beanie, it actually got stretched out a little bit, kind of got a little bit more gross, even though it pushed in the washing machine. So I was like, maybe I can get something out of this random yellow beanie that I found in my house. So I had a merch company that I was doing a lot of stuff with, selling shirts. We actually talked a little bit about, hey, we should maybe create our own yellow beanie and make it better qualities as well. So we sparred a little bit, and eventually we got a model that I'm actually still proud of, and we made a couple hundred of our own yellow beanies. So for our promotion my promotion video, I thought it would be really fun to make a funny skit of me eventually burning the original beanie and then revealing, well, it doesn't matter, guys, because I have my own right now. So I made that video. I edited it. I put it on YouTube, and I got bombarded with so many loyal fans that were like, well, how could you do that? That was the original one. You actually destroyed it, and that is not on brand of you, and you shouldn't have done that. At least you should have given away to like a true fan. I was like, holy shit, this was the first time ever in my YouTube career that I got so many negative messages about something that I thought I was really proud of. And yeah, I got bombarded with negative messages of how I actually approached this. So I didn't know what to do. So I got, the night before, I got super emotional. I was talking with a lot of people like, what should I do? Should I stop making the beanie things? Should I just put out the plug? Should I apologize or anything like that? I was super confused. And without really thinking, I uploaded a video explaining everything that I thought that what I was doing and everything that I received from my audience. And I actually burst in tears because of all the messages I got. And I also uploaded that video, and that blew up a lot in our YouTube scene with a lot of people that thought I was only crying on a video to sell my merchandise, and it got out of hand. And that's pretty much the story. I was crying on a video about my yellow cap being burned, but I was actually crying because I got a lot of negative messages from my most loyal fans. So yeah.
Oh gosh! Now I feel incredibly bad.
No, no, don't be, don't be. Because
I was completely miss. That's literally what I got was had a yellow cat ear beanie, burnt in a video, and cried, and then also released merch beanie. That was really, really undersold to me. As that, yeah. How was that? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
But let's be honest. If you really didn't give a lot of damn about me, you're like you're hearing that short version. Like, oh, that's weird.
I found it quite funny, but then obviously. Now that I know the actual context, I feel a bit bad about it.
I mean, that's like, if I talk with people, like, there are so many, like, creators that have, like, big scandals or did really weird shit, I could just say, well, the only weird thing that I did was cry on camera because I burned my own hat. So it could be way worse. It could be way worse.
Exactly. More fun facts that I will briefly say and you can build on.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say the name wrong here. So you was part of a YouTube group called Dagelichkadi.
Yeah, that's the one that I was talking about. The Daily HD.
Oh, that was Daily. Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Okay, do you have anything else you wanted to say about that YouTube group?
Well, the funny part about it was when I was little, I actually looked at their stuff. Also the channel manager, Milan, and they did a lot of content. And later on, he actually opened up his channel for smaller content creators to make videos on his channel. And the thing was, you could just have a video on his channel if you made a good video. And the agreement with that was you could have the exposure for your video going on his channel and get the views, maybe get some subscribers. And he could upload that video on his channel and he could earn the money out of that. So that was his business strategy for that. And I did that as well on his channel. And later on, I got in the group Discord. I think it was still Skype when it first was going on. So I joined their Skype call of the Daily HD group, and I met a lot of cool people there. Later on, I actually became a full-on member on the channel once it got actually reduced a little bit. Instead of being a global channel for everyone to upload, it was just the main guy and a couple friends uploading videos on the channel.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
And then I got, like, I think most of my subscribers.
And then I believe you mentioned this one as well, but I'm still going to bring up anyways. The Trio group, which was you, Jeremy, and I don't actually know the third person. I'm sorry. Which is called The Sappige Mannen.
The Sappige Mannen.
The Sappige Mannen.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it. It's again with the...
The Sappige Mannen. Okay, yeah.
The third person that you mentioned is called Enzo. Full YouTube name is Enzo Knol. He is actually the younger brother of Milan that hosts this Daily HD channel.
Okay.
And he is, I think, still the most subscribed Dutch channel in the Netherlands that makes Dutch content. And he does daily vlogs. He used to do daily vlogs, but he still vlogs a lot. And he also did a lot of Minecraft on his channel. And me and Jeremy were contacted by him to make a lot of funny Minecraft videos together. And then we actually became a little bit of a group, and that was 10 years ago, us just being us saying stupid shit when we played Minecraft. And I think we did it for a couple of years. And a couple weeks ago, that was our 10-year anniversary of us starting that stupid group. And we actually did a stream on all our channels as a nostalgia stream of us playing Minecraft again, doing our survival, playing Egg Wars. And that was a lot of fun.
It's kind of insane. Like, I've realized it a lot with some of the creators I bought on recently, the longevity of a lot of the people who are still around today. Like, if I looked at you, I thought you'd be like, it's not a negative thing. I guess it's a compliment, but like, it's a really weird compliment, but it's a compliment. Like, if I looked at you, it feels like you'd been around for like 5 or 6 years, as in, and why that's a compliment is because like, you're very like modernized with your content creation. Like, you've been able to really keep up. So like, when I find out you've been around for 12 or 13 years, it's like the fact that you're still able to stay relevant and still able to, you know, move your content to fit with the times is incredibly impressive.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So I mean, like, yeah. If I have to compare myself with myself a couple of years ago, I'm like, holy shit, I had so many more views and I was quote unquote so much more relevant. But that was also like a really, I think, a stressful stressful moment or like a busy moment in my life, just like only making YouTube content, just keep on streaming, keep on making content every single day. And I think that was actually unhealthy of me, but that brought me to the person that I am today, like more laid back, having the weekends off, doing fun stuff with friends and doing the content that I actually enjoy making.
That's the thing, and I've said this before, like, on the flip side, you know, like kind of just a parrot you hear a little bit. It's like, yeah, mm-hmm. sure, you were famous and stuff like that. You know, you maybe you're getting more views, but also if you weren't where you are today, would you be as happy? Like, for instance, with me, I was getting a lot more money and a lot more views when I was doing command block tutorials. But then at the same time, we wouldn't be here on the podcast right now had I have carried on doing the command block tutorials. So yeah. Do I value the, you know, the conversations I get to have now over the money and the fame? 100%. Because hopefully it'll follow. Like, hopefully one day I'll get the money and the fame from this. It's a lot harder and it's a lot longer. But also I just value this a lot more. So
yeah, same. I just love that I can still do this as my full-time job. I love all the new people and the old people that I met throughout my journey making content creation. So many people that I've been doing this for maybe over 10 years. One of them is like Jeremy and Enzo and so many more. But there are also like a couple people that are on Twitch. I think they've blew up like, I think maybe this year that I've actually met. There are like amazing people and I love to talk with them about content creation because maybe this is their first year actually getting traction from people watching their content. And I love to see how they handle everything going on, like all the viewers coming in, the first sponsorship and all that jazz that comes on. So I think that's really fun to see. And then also being a part of everyone's blowing up again, like new generation of content creators.
What's your like favorite, and it doesn't have to be your most successful, it doesn't have to be like, you know, the best one for like the audience, what's your favorite period of content creation? Just something that like, you know, either did really really well and you enjoyed it, or maybe didn't do too well but you've really enjoyed it regardless.
I did a lot of different let's plays or weird stuff. I had like so many different type of content creation. I can pin out a couple videos that I am super proud of that I made. One of them is video that I made, I think almost a year ago on my main channel. And that's called Me Winning the Great SMP Hardcore. That's a Dutch
server that was actually the next one I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
What is it? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it is a server that Jeremy made with Duncan and a lot of other people behind the scenes that actually helped organizing that. It was a server for a lot of Dutch content creators to be on the server for 3 or 4 weeks, play Minecraft, but it's hardcore. So if you die in the game, you die in real life. No, actually, if you die in the game, it's over. No more content for you. You can't respawn. So a lot of people from the Netherlands that play a lot of Minecraft joined the server. A lot of people that never played Minecraft in their life joined the server. There were a lot of people that never interacted with each other and made content. And it was really fun. And it was kind of a big thing in the Netherlands when it first started the first season. It was not ginormous. So once that one was done and it was successful, Jeremy and Duncan made the second season. And that one actually blew up. Like so many different people came over to Twitch. Our viewers skyrocketed like 10 times more. If a person had 700 viewers, now they have 7K people watching them. It was absolutely bonkers. It was an amazing month to stream and do Minecraft content on the server. But going back to your first question of videos that I made is on the first Create SMP, because I actually won the entire event by being an epic gamer. So the video is called I Won the Create SMP Hardcore, and it was a 1 hour and 30 minute I would say movie that I made of all my streams and all the different things that I did on the server. And a couple things that I like to highlight about that video. It's completely in Dutch, so if you don't know Dutch, it will be harder to understand.
Well, subtitles, so you can put YouTube subtitles on.
I mean, that's true. I can highlight three things that I really enjoy about the video is I'm a really goofball when it comes to Minecraft. I can get bored really fast, so I do stupid shit. And in Minecraft Hardcore, one thing you don't want to do is die. Well, that was the Minecraft version where they actually introduced the hardest mob deal in Minecraft, and that's called the Warden. So I thought it was a good idea to actually go to the ancient city where they spawn, made a whole staircase and let them spawn and give them a name tag.
Oh, gosh.
And I brought them all the way up to the overworld and just let them roam around for everyone to see. Everyone was scared shitless. Everyone on the Discord was like, what should we do? This is crazy. If they see us once, we were going to die. And I was just having my good old stroll, bringing so many of the wardens outside in the overworld. And eventually I thought, everyone is scared and is now hiding in the Nether. So what if I bring a warden to the Nether? So a friend of mine actually saw that happening, and he was also on the server, and he made an AI funny song about it, like Link Tiger put the warden in the Nether, and it was a super catchy AI song, and everyone loved it. So that's a whole big thing that goes on in the video, and I made a little bit of a video clip in the video as well about that song, which was really fun. And another thing that was really cool about the creator SMP was that to win or to go further, you had to eliminate people. But it's also really hard to actually kill people, because in the back of my head, I'm like, if I kill someone, it's over for them. They can make more content. And I'm really cautious about that a little bit. So I had a fun idea to quote unquote kill someone, but not actually killing them. And what I did was grabbing a carved pumpkin and put the cursor of binding on it. So a person that was really on our head all the time, I made sure. So you have to get off your helmet and step on that pressure plate, otherwise we'll kill you. And they were like, okay, I'll do it. And then they actually got the pumpkin on their head and they got really nerfed. So there was no way for them to win anymore, because if you don't have a full set on, you just don't win. It was a really fun way to still have that person inside, but not being a threat anymore. So what I did, I had a team with Jeremy and Duncan, and I thought everyone was scared of us because we were three of the most experienced Minecraft players. So I thought it would be fun to troll my friends a little bit. So what I did was make my own trap. I placed a carved pumpkin offline in that trap, and I walked myself into that trap in our own base, our secret base. And I was like, who did that? Jeremy, did you do that? Or Duncan, did you do that? And they were like, no, I haven't done that. So on stream, like, they muted. They were like, no, chat, for sure, I didn't do it. And both of them were like, oh, we didn't do it. And I was like, chat, who did that? Was that Jeremy? Was that Duncan? Was that someone else that was in their base? Everyone was like going full on detective mode, searching everyone's stream, getting any hints of anyone placing that trap. But I actually did it myself, but nobody knew except one guy, because what I did was ask him to make a custom texture pack. Instead of curse of vanishing, it would say curse of binding. So I got actually put a curse of vanishing pumpkin on my head that I could actually remove, but nobody knew.
I love that so much. Oh my god, so that's so good.
So for the whole evening, everyone on Twitch was like, who did that to Link? And at the end, I pressed, all right, chat, I have to stop the stream. I'll see you all tomorrow. I don't know how to fix all of this, but yeah, I'll see you tomorrow. And I pressed the button on my stream deck, and I got a whole cinematic waiting there of me role-playing that I did this all to myself. And everyone was shitting their pants. They were like, oh my god, absolute cinema, what the hell is going on? So that's really,
and then did you take the pumpkin off, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Just revealing, like, haha, yeah.
That's really smart, actually, putting on the curse vanishing instead of curse of binding. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so nobody knew that for the whole evening. And I kind of wanted to wait for the reveal at the final, but I was so scared I would die before that. So
yeah, and also if someone started attacking you.
I had to put it on right there.
Plus, if someone started attacking you because they saw you as weaker, you'd have to take off the blight and like the pumpkin and put on your helmet, and then it kind of take away from the whole fun. So I see why you did it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and eventually, like, even the server owners like Duncan and Jared didn't know about it, but some of the actually developers found out eventually that I didn't have the right helmet on. So maybe later on they would actually tell Jeremy and Duncan what was actually going on, because there was a lot of things going on behind the scenes of, all right, well, Duncan didn't do it and Jeremy didn't do it, so someone was actually in our base, and it's not, you cannot go into each other's base when everyone is offline. So someone actually broke the rules there. So they had to find out after stream what was going on. And I mean, we're amazing players, but we're not actors. So once we know something, we cannot really play it off. So that's also a really good reason for me to actually reveal it on right there and there.
Exactly, not tell them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of my favorite videos that I made. I put so many hours in that.
And would you say that's your favorite era of content then, like doing that?
Yeah, I think so. Creator SP was like a lot of fun. It was also like big on YouTube and also on Twitch.
It's kind of funny because the next topic was Creator SP, but like I feel like we've already talked about it now. I don't really have any questions about it. You've pretty much answered everything I was going to ask, which is really cool. And you know what? So wait, actually, one question. How many seasons has there been? Three, right?
There's been two seasons.
Two. So you know what? No matter what happens...
There's been more Creator SP... but not hardcore. There were two Create SMP seasons that were just like normal SMPs, but they died out quite quickly because once you got everything going on, some people lost interest. And the hardcore was just an amazing part of everyone locking in for like 3 or 4 weeks, just playing Minecraft and having fun.
You know what? At the end of the day, no matter how many Create SMPs there are, no matter how many Create SMP hardcores there are, no one can say they won the first one like you did.
That's true. I didn't win the second one, though.
But that doesn't matter. No one remembers the second man on the moon, do they?
I mean, that is true. That would be true.
So,
yeah, but mine was more and more cinematic because no one ever expected me to win. And I didn't expect either. I was all going for the content and thinking about making that one big video. But me actually winning it in the end was like, oh, this is amazing. Now I can make the video way better.
Everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Something that we haven't touched on. Did you have anything else to say about Minecraft content? Or have we done a pretty good job of covering that all?
I think everything is fine. Maybe a fun fact about
please give it.
Me and Minecraft. I also sent my Minecraft skin over to you. I only had one Minecraft skin. It's been the same for... the first time I actually got my Minecraft account.
The entire skin itself or just the outfit? I'm sure you've changed the outfit sometimes. Yeah. Right?
I mean, do change it sometimes for like events NPC and stuff, get a custom thing, but I never change my skin. It's like a super iconic Minecraft skin right now because I just captured Link from Legend of Zelda and I captured a tiger and I told someone, hey, could you put this in Photoshop and make the tiger green so it fits off with the outfit, and it was like, okay, cool, I can make that, and that's how my Minecraft skin was born. Just two different skins copy pasted on top of each other and a little bit of color grading.
There you go. See, all your listeners on Spotify, we now have video, so you should be able to turn on the video option and see what the skin looks like. I used to have to tell people to go to YouTube, but now I don't have to because we have video on Spotify. Well, as long as I've actually added the video, because I have to manually edit. So as long as it's been like after 4 years.
And if he hasn't done it, you should spam him over on all social medias. That you should.
Well, no, I mean I will do it. I'm just like, when this podcast comes out, I most likely won't be home. So
it will
be added the next day when I get back home. There you go. So the reason I ask about like the ending the Minecraft topic is because you don't just make Minecraft content. You play another game, don't you?
Sorry, once again?
I don't know. I was saying that you don't just make Minecraft content. You play another game also.
Yeah, I mean, I've played so many games.
But there's one game I've heard you're quite a big fan of.
Oh, go on.
I mean, I think you should know it because you're a really big fan of it.
I think you know what you're talking about. I think it's Pokemon.
It is Pokemon.
Yeah. I mean, Pokemon is more than just the game. It's like the whole franchise.
Yeah,
it's
actually, so big. Yeah.
Anime, it's a trading card game. Different kind of games. You have like the main series game, you have like Pokemon Go, you have all the other different stuff. It's like so much bigger than anything else going on. And I think it's just like fascinating. I grew it up when only like Gen 1. When I was a child, I played Fire Red and eventually Diamond and Pearl on the DS. And I played so much Pokemon back in the days. And later on, it was still a big thing. And now there's like Scarlet and Violet. And I played so much of that game. And once Pokemon Go came out, that you could play Pokemon Go in real life. The first time it was launched in Australia, I downloaded it on a different server and with an APK. So I can play it before anyone else in the Netherlands. So I was out on like 12 a.m. in the evening catching Pokemon when no one was out yet. So yeah, it's so big, and I just love the whole franchise.
So in case it then it hasn't become apparent by the fact that I literally generalize it as just being a game, I don't really, I've never really gotten into Pokemon. Like, I watched like an episode or so when it was on TV when I was a kid, and like, you know, I had like, I have like a I like Snorlax. Like, it's very basic. I don't have a reason. I just like Snorlax. So like, I watched like Pixelmon as well, like Minecraft Pixelmon was a thing, but like, I've never really gotten into Pokemon at all. So I become a little bit more useless when we get to this section, but I want to ask, what about it makes you so hooked on it?
I think for me, like, Pokemon has a lot of phases, because first, when it was introduced in our country, it was like the coolest thing on TV to watch, like anime in general. There were like a couple animes that got sent over to our channels on TV that were actually dubbed in Dutch as well, because when you're younger, you can't understand English, even though especially like Japanese, that's not a thing. So they actually had to dub it, and Pokemon was so big, they actually got the Dutch dub. That's one of the things that Pokemon became big for me, because I watched it a lot when it was on TV and I thought it was really cool. Then it was like the games. My nephew is 2 years older than me, so he was in different in his life that he could actually introduced me to new stuff that I later on would be interested in. So like a couple video games, he was like, this game is cool, you're not on the right age yet to play, but you can see me play it. And I was like, oh cool, I can see my nephew play those type of games. One of them is like Pokemon. When we got when Diamond and Pearl first released, he was like, all right, I'm picking Pokemon Diamond, and you should ask your mom for Pokemon Pearl, so we can have all the Pokemons in the Pokedex. So that's like a big memory for me. And also like the trading card game. A couple times in my life, I got a booster pack from my mom if I was a good boy, and I can open the packs, and I'm like, oh my god, look at the school cards that I have, and bring them over to school and trade with some friends, and got fake cards in return. Was like great memories.
When you say fake cards,
I mean fake cards has been a big thing for so many years.
Yeah, because, no, like, I know, but I can't believe it happened when you was a kid.
I mean, that's really easy.
Was it intentional, though? Like, were they intentionally doing it or accidentally doing it?
No, I don't think so. Maybe they just like, oh, look at this cool card that I have. Do you want it? We can trade it. And maybe sometimes you trade fake cards for fake cards. But it's just sometimes we just don't know if it's fake. Some parents just like, oh, they're so expensive, the cards. I can print them myself, so my kids can get so many cool cards that are super expensive. And that's how they get into the whole trading sphere with children.
Yeah,
I think it's a problem that doesn't have a solution for smaller kids. But if they're happy with their fake cards, they should be. It's a great way to still introduce and let your kids play with it.
Yeah, that's fair. I was just curious because, like, I know, like, I've seen it before. Like, people buy fake cards back and then they get it graded, and it's just like this massive scam. I was just curious if it's like accidental or like genuinely on purpose kids were going out and scamming you. But
I mean, there are some kids that would do that. Yeah.
I think my issue is, like, I'd love to get into Pokemon, but my thing is if I haven't done it since I was a kid, I find it hard, because, like, I feel like I'd have to. I always like to know things from the start. And, like, it doesn't have to be from the very beginning, but, like, you know, when you're a child, if you follow it since you're, like, 5, right?
Yeah.
That's, once you turn 25, that's 20 years of following Pokemon. But then if I get into it now, I have to make up 20 years of lost time. And it's just like, I don't want to do that. It's like with WWE. I love WWE, but because I was English and my parents weren't exactly the richest, we never really paid for any of like the WrestleMania or whatever. So I'd love to go back and watch it, but also at the same time, like, be into WWE, but also at the same time, I don't know all the lore and stuff, because, and I want to know the lore. So I just don't get hooked on it, because I don't want to lose that time.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite hard to actually jump into Pokemon, because when it first got released, there were only 151 Pokemon in the Pokedex, and now it's over 1,000. So actually knowing every single one, there are different variants or of certain Pokemons that are different but also still the same with the same name, and sometimes
generations and stuff
sometimes they do have a different name, but they still look alike and they're relatives from each other. It's getting quite confusing if you haven't been caught up with it. But there are a lot of people that started playing Pokemon once Pokemon Go was a big thing. And later on still, like maybe 3 years ago, a lot of people joined Pokemon Go too. A lot of people, the only thing that they know about Pokemon is Pokemon Go. That is, I would say, always the best way to start getting into Pokemon. or maybe open a pack once in a while if you maybe like it. And also do it with friends that actually get it, so they can hype you up a little bit for, oh, look at the amazing cards you have.
Yeah, I was thinking about possibly buying some Pokemon cards just to open with someone on stream and then see if I bag something that's worth a lot of money and they can tell me it's worth a lot of money. It'll be like that one guy who's just never played Pokemon, opens up cards, gets the like most expensive cards you can get, and then bang.
Oh, that happens a lot. And all the people that really love Pokemon, they get mad at you. They would get mad.
Yeah, well... I it's not my fault.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Just back better.
Exactly. Just get better luck. Gamble harder. No, do not gamble. I have a feeling based on what you said, but I'm going to ask you regardless. What's your favorite Pokemon game? I know we're going back to the whole game thing, but you know.
I mean, I quite mentioned it a lot. I think Pokemon Go is the best because it has longevity. It's been over 9 years since the game got launched. I did have periods that I didn't play for a couple months, but right now I do play it occasionally when cool events go on. But that's one of the most sustained Pokemon game that actually gets new content every single time. I do love the main series games when they come out. I play them a lot. I maybe shiny hunt a little bit that are Pokemon that have different colors. I like doing that. And one of the games that I really enjoyed from Pokemon was a little bit of a standoff generational game that's called the Legends series. Pokemon Legends Arceus was the first one, and that was a game that was about the past of Pokemon. So one of the characters got transported into the past, and then everything worked differently from what you normally see in Pokemon, with like throwing a Pokeball and encountering the Pokemon. So that was a really refreshing look on the Pokemon franchise, and that's what I really enjoyed. A new one is actually dropping on October, Legends ZA, it's called, but it's also a game not from the past, but from the future. And I'm really excited about that one coming out in October. And if I say one more Pokemon game that I really enjoyed, that is Pokemon, new Pokemon Snap. That's a Pokemon game. Just take pictures of Pokemons. And the professor would actually grade your pictures that you made on how good the picture is made in frame, if the Pokemon is all in the middle, if there are other Pokemons in the background or cool stuff going on, you get your points. And that's a really fun game that I almost 100% and just put so many hours in.
What's your favorite Pokemon? Let's hear your top five. What are your top five favorite Pokemons?
My top five. One of my favorites is a different version of one of the main Pokemon called Voltorb.
Okay.
It's like a Pokeball Pokemon, but there is a different version that's called the Hoosierian Voltorb because it's the Pokemon from the past. So Pokeballs were different. So that Voltorb was also different. And I just love that little guy. Normally Voltorb looks angry and that Voltorb looks happy. And I just love his little silly face. And I got him in my team and I also shiny hunted it. He was my real friend. Another Pokemon that I really like is one of the new ones. It's called Hydrapple. It's a Pokemon that a lot of people hate because the first evolution is called Applin, and he is a grass dragon Pokemon, but he doesn't look like a dragon because it's just a little worm inside of an apple. That's how he got the grass type, because it's an apple, but that little worm is a dragon. Everyone's like, how could that little wormy thing, he could be, how is he called a dragon even though Charizard looks like a dragon, but he isn't one? And everyone gets mad at him. I'm like, haha, cute worm dragon. I like it. So he got a new evolution called Hydrapple, and then he's like a big apple with several dragon heads coming out of that apple, and he's just really cool.
Cool.
And once he's shiny, it's like a golden apple, so it's like for Minecraft, a golden apple looks really cool. But that's one of my favorites. And if I have to go for one more, is a Pokemon that I really enjoyed. Because I played Pokemon X and Y for the first time because I never had a 3DS. It's called Clauncher. I think he's a really fun guy. He's like a crab kind of Pokemon. And the fun thing about him is that it's a blue lobster Pokemon. But his shiny is actually red. And shinies are actually quite rare. And it's like the opposite of like normal life. Because in normal life, we have lobsters that are red. And the rare ones are blue. So it's like the opposite of what we have in real life. Like, we are hunting for the normal one, except for it's actually the rare one in Pokemon.
Not free, well,
that's
sure.
A fun one. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Magikarp?
I think Magikarp is a cool dude.
Kind of useless, right?
I mean, he can evolve into Gyarados, and then he's not useless anymore. And he's one of the most iconic shiny Pokemons because it's gold.
Ooh.
Yeah. And Snorlax. I love Snorlax as well.
I love Snorlax. They're like the only Pokemon I know. Someone's giving out like Pokemon cards at TwitchCon, and it said like, what Pokemon card do you want? I said just Snorlax. And I was like, okay. And then
there
people ask
so
me like, why do you...
Snorlax cards as well.
I've been asked why I like Snorlax. I'm just like, I don't know. They just seem so like nice and cuddly.
I mean, they are, except if you'll wake them up and they get angry.
I would never wake a Snorlax up. They deserve all the sleep in the world.
And if they wake up and they're hungry, just give them your food. They will go back to sleep after.
Exactly. I would do anything for Snorlax. Bess, sorry, I don't really have too much to say about the whole Pokemon topic. I don't really know too much about it. Like, if I was proper Pokemon, I think we have a Twitter question or two regarding it. But, like, if I was proper into it, I'd like Minecraft. I've been able to ask loads, but I just don't know enough about it. Sorry, I just wanted to bring it up. I mean, if you have anything you want to say about it, go ahead. I don't know what to ask about
no,
it. So
I think I'm good on everything. I would just ramp out for another hour, I think.
Fair enough. So, something that I discovered about you is apparently you run an end-of-year award show of some sort.
I did that for, actually, last year for the first time.
So. Oh, it was the first time? Okay.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it about?
Well, there are a couple streamers, I think two of them, that actually do award shows at the end of the year. One of them is awarding... the best streamer of the year, the best female streamer, the best male streamer, the best group streamer, and all that jazz. And it's always the same categories. It's kind of boring. And there's also another streamer that does a lot of awards with the most Monka-esque moments, the best hype moments, the best jump scare moments, the best baby rage moments, like the best chat message or best TTS. And that show is amazing to watch because a lot of content creators give their clips the best moments and they get in the top five and actually get a winner. That's a really fun show to watch. And I thought I want to show more of my content that I made from the past year because I thought 2024 was a really fun year that I did for streaming. So I asked my community to look at all my clips from the past year and show me the good stuff, and I would make certain categories for certain clips. For instance, like the best IRL clip, the best moderator, the best VIP, and all that kind of jazz. And then I actually made my own award show that was like super crappy that I did all by myself with one stream deck, switching perspectives on a green screen, and loading up videos that I made in advance of people announcing the winners and showing off the nominees. And I thought it was really fun to do. So maybe I will do that this year as well if I find enough clip to make enough categories.
Let me think of a category that you could add. You might already have it. Most Papega chatter of the year. Ooh.
Oh. I'm not going to out them, but I already know who has to win.
Yeah, there you go. See? And you can out them. Tune in to the Link Awards. I believe that's what it's called. Link Awards on... When is it? Do you have an idea for this year?
It will be at the end of the year. I think it will be one of the last streams I will ever do. So at the end of December, if I'll do it.
Ever do? Are you quitting?
No.
I'll ever do this year.
That's a concept that I have. I don't think I will ever do it, but that's what I think about. If once I want to like stop content creation, I do a lot of subathons. I do it once a year for like a month and then that's the cap. I thought it would be fun if you go out, you do a subathon, and once the timer hits zero, you never come back on Twitch. So it could go on for 2 years if people keep on paying, but if it ends in a month, you won't come back after that.
So quite literally take their money and run.
Yeah, literally. If you still want to see me tomorrow, just make that shirt. Make sure that the timer stays on until tomorrow if you want to tune in.
If you really love my content, give me all your money. Yeah. No, I like it. It's a good it's a good strat, to be fair.
Yeah, if you want to get a send off, but also cash in, I think that's a fun way to do it.
Speaking of the subathon, the reason we're recording this on a Thursday is because next Monday your subathon begins.
Yeah,
it will be. How many times have you done it now? Because you said it's a yearly tradition, right?
I think this is the 4th or 6th year that I do it. I think.
Oh, jeez, been going for a while.
Yeah. I do it every time on September because then Twitch gives out like the better deals for subs. So people can get like 6 months in advance. And end of the month, there's also the thing of gifting more subs that are sponsored by, say, Valorant, I think it was last year. They give more subs for the subs that you give, and we get paid more. So that's a really good moment to do a subathon.
Yeah, I should stream more in September. I never really stream in September, but I should, because I can steal all my viewers' monies also. Not stealing, nicely contributing.
You have to pay taxes. Come on, chat. Come on.
Yeah, so are you excited? Do you have any fun plans for this? Because also, obviously, if you're still going, which I hope you are, this podcast will be coming out 12 days into your subathon. So,
so many fun stuff going on. You should have been there. Come on, everyone.
What did we miss?
I have a lot of concepts that I have ready to do. I love doing IRL streams and also with like different people and do different stuff. I can maybe tell you a thing that I want to do. Maybe I've already done it once you're listening to this, or maybe I haven't yet. And that is a 5-minute eating challenge.
Okay.
I grab 3 other streamers and I also participate in it as well. And we present a specific thing to eat. For instance, an app. And you have 5 minutes to eat an X amount of apple. You have to think individually about how many apples you can eat within 5 minutes. So I'll be like, all right, I can eat 2. Someone else thinks 3. Another one thinks 1, another one also thinks 2. So the person that bit the highest amount actually has to do it, and the other ones could. So you have to bid out a little bit higher to make sure that you can do it, because that's how you can earn points. And if you actually can eat that right amount of pieces of food in 5 minutes, you get a point. But if you don't make it in 5 minutes, you lose a point.
It's very similar to that. I can't remember what it's called, where like you have so if you say like it's me, let's just say it's me, you, and Jeremy in a call, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know if you're going to do it exactly like this or if you're going to switch up a little bit, but like it'll be like, I'll start by saying like, I can eat 2 apples, and then you'll go, I can eat 3 apples, and either Jeremy has to either say that he can eat 4 apples, or he'll just call you on bullshit. It's similar to that.
You have to write it down without knowing anyone else bidding. So you have to be like, all right, if I go like 2, I can eat 2 apples for sure, but there may be some other people that also answer 2. So I should maybe take the risk and go for 3, because I don't know what other people are bidding. So you're kind of overbidding sometimes, and you're inside your own head thinking about, oh, should I overbid or not? But you can also think, huh, apples do fill up my stomach a lot, and there are more rounds going on, so I don't want this one. So I'm just putting on 1 apple, because if I actually get 1 apple, I'm eating 1 and I get the point easily if people are putting 0 in. So it's a little bit of a mind game before.
That's what I'm saying. It's very similar to so basically how the other one works is just like kind of like I mentioned there, but you have to, it goes in a line. So I like the way you're doing it more. I think it's more fun. But the other way, which I was going to say, I'm glad you're not doing it like it. So like if mm-hmm. I go, I can eat 2 apples, you go, you can eat 3 apples. Jeremy has to either say that he can eat 4 apples, or he calls you on bullshit. And so it's like a thing of like, is it like, I know Link can eat 3, so do I risk 4, or do I just hope that Link can't eat 3, kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but I like the way you're doing it more. I think it's but I think it's better, because like this one kind of forces a hand of like, you have to say the higher number, you can't also go, oh, I can also do 3. Like it's just a thing of like, you have to do.
Yeah, there's gonna be a little bit of more strategy going on. And if there's something going on that's like, oh, I hate that particular food, you just write a 0 and you don't participate in the round.
I like this idea. Like, I really hope you do it.
Overbid. Sorry?
I really hope you do it, because I really like this idea. It sounds really fun.
Yeah.
I see. We're getting the leaks. I'm getting the leaks of the subathon, aren't I?
Yeah. You do.
God, I love the podcast. I hear about everything.
You got all the insights.
Oh my God, Inside MC. What?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Title drop.
Boom. It's like the movie when they say the name of the episode and the name of the movie in the movie, you know? Mm-hmm, like Fantastic Four, say that again.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you wanted to talk about that we haven't touched on today, or have we done a pretty good job of covering everything?
Covered almost everything, yeah. You got a whole life story on
there
this
we
podcast.
Go, so. I know we didn't really touch on the other Twitch rivals that you played, but I feel like they're all fairly similar anyways. Like, there's nothing crazy, unless you've like won a big one, but...
I mean, I did a lot of Twitch rivals. I think I did a couple with... Fall Guys that were pretty fun. I did a lot of Minecraft that were not MCCs. They were all also really fun. A lot of fun game modes. And like to do those two as well. But they're gone. But I love MCC, so I'm fine that they are stepping up for Twitch. And there are also a couple other ones that I cannot name on top of my head that I also participated in.
Well, before I do the outro here, I have some Twitter questions.
All right.
So
I love
the first
that you still
one...
call Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I'm not calling it X. Sorry. The first one comes from With May X, speaking of X.
Oh, speak of the devil.
Speak of the devil. When are you removing the 1,500 bit alert?
Never. Just to despite her.
So, I've heard about this, but I'm not sure what it is.
I mean, I got a stupid sound alert that is the... it is a Pokemon meme. Do you know the Pokemon called Vaporeon?
After I heard about them, I Googled it, yeah.
Yeah.
So now I do.
Yeah, there is a copy paste somewhere on Reddit that someone made about Vaporeon being the most breedable Pokemon. And they actually really in depth about it, why that is. For instance, they know certain moves that would really pleasure the person having sex with the Pokemon.
Okay.
And they have the exact right amount of height and weight. Like stupid stuff like that. And then
it
became
stupid?
A whole meme. Sorry?
I said, is it stupid?
I mean, it's stupid. I think it's stupid to have think about sex.
I know. I'm joking.
Pokemon,
I'm joking. So. Don't worry. I'm only joking. I'm
anyone
only
can
joking.
Have their own thing, but I think it's... I mean, it is
anyone
something.
Can have their
I,
own...
I can laugh
yeah,
about it.
It gets to a point. It gets to a point where it becomes a little borderline. Anyways, yeah. So, yeah.
So there is someone that actually recorded that whole shenanigans in an Uwu voice and put it on the internet and got a couple million views. And it goes like, hey guys, did you know that in terms of male human and female Pokemon breeding, Vaporeon is the most compatible Pokemon for humans. I can go on, by the way. I've heard it so many times.
Oh, please, carry on. I love this.
because for some stupid reason, I don't know why, I put it at a 1,000-bit donation. And eventually, when I put it in as a joke, and I think like 5 or 6 people put it back and forth into it, and then it kind of died out. And I still had it on. And then I think I did a subathon or something else. I think it was a subathon. There were so many Oriole Barons that had so many bits. They kept on giving me 1,000 bits. So for like half an hour or maybe longer, I would keep on hearing the same copy paste of the meme from Vaporeon until eventually people that actually watched my stream were like, all right, listen, I love that you're getting that back, but we really hate that sound now. So could you please make it a little bit more expensive at least? So that's what I did. I made it 1,500 bits, and it was still a thing that happened in my stream occasionally a lot of times when I was doing a subathon. So eventually a friend of mine out of nowhere thought it would be funny if he did the Vaporeon himself, but then in Dutch. So he translated it and did it in Dutch and sent it over to me without me even knowing it. So I was like, huh, that's quite funny. Let's make that a 50% chance of happening of the original one and then the other one. And later on, another friend came over and said, hey, I did it myself, but I made my own spin of it. And then another one, and then another person. And I got like 7 or 8 different versions of people reading the Vaporeon lines. And every single time, May comes into my chat. For some reason, it is amazing how she times it. The audio starts playing. Someone donates 1,500 bits every time she joins the stream. And she's like, all right, I'm off now. Goodbye. And it's just a funny thing that keeps on going on every time.
Let's hear someone copy paste it in the Uwu voice. I'm curious because you started off there and you said you could carry on. So.
Oh my god. Oh shit.
You don't have to do it. Well, you don't have to do it. Also, you don't have to
do it.
I just kind of want to hear a bit of it.
Wait. Let me see if I can search it off. Vaporeon.
I thought you knew off the top of your head.
Yeah, but I cannot jump in the middle of it. I have to just start over. All right. Due to their most base biology, there is no doubt in my mind that an aroused Vaporeon would be incredibly wet. So wet that it could easily have sex with one for hours without getting sore. They could also learn moves like attract, baby doll eyes, captivate, charm, and tail whip. And along with not having fur to hide nipples. So it would be incredibly easy for one to get you into the mood.
Right, we'll call it there, I reckon, for that one. Nice. Thank you for sharing.
No worries,
my life. Probably for the worse, but it's okay.
Yeah. It is a weird copy paste. Yeah, it's a weird meme thingy.
The second one comes from Servas. Or Andrew even. They asked two questions, but I'm gonna ask the second one, which I feel like I know the. I mean, I know the answer to, but I'm just gonna ask it regardless.
Yeah.
If you're outside alone or with friends/family, is it frustrating if people come to you and ask you for a picture?
The only time that I think it's a no-go is when I'm eating at a restaurant. Except for that, I'm pretty chill about it. If someone comes up to me, they enjoyed my videos and they want to say hi, I'm 99% of the times I'm like, hey, cool, nice meeting you, you want to take a picture? And then after that we say our goodbyes, and that's mostly it when I'm with people. It's a normal thing for me that people recognize me if I'm at a place that's public. If it's near my house or anything like that, I don't like it. They shouldn't be there to actually search me up. But aside from that, if I'm somewhere else outside, maybe doing grocery shopping, and people recognize me in the store, I'm all for it. I'm okay if people recognize me and say hi to me. I'm cool about that.
Scenario time.
Yeah.
All right. So you're out in a shopping mall. Okay. Let me finish the full story before you give your answer. All right. You're out in a shopping mall. You go to the toilet. In the toilet.
In a shopping mall?
In a shopping mall. Yeah.
Okay.
I just, for the sake of it. I mean, wherever you want to be, you're going to the toilet. In a restaurant, wherever. Okay. I don't know. Yeah. You go to the toilet. In the toilet, you meet a fan. Oh, a fan meets you. And they go, hi, blah, blah, blah. Fine. Right? They don't do anything. Yeah. But then they leave before you. And stand outside to wait for a picture.
I mean, that's way better than asking a picture in the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean,
I would see that as someone that actually thought about it, that asking for a picture in the bathroom is kind of inappropriate and they weren't quite sure about asking. So they waited outside.
But you'd be fine for someone to wait.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know a lot of people I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind someone waiting outside as long as they respect my privacy and afterwards. I was like, yeah, sure. But I feel like a lot of people are really I've seen people answer this question before and like, no, why would you wait for me? That's weird. But it's like, also at the same time, like, they just want to get a picture, you know?
Oh yeah, I don't mind. I don't see a lot of harm into that, but maybe that's also because I'm a man and I don't get a lot of weird things throwing at me. I know a lot of female creators have some weird interactions with fans.
Yeah, Twitch one was really weird for it this year as well. Like, I saw a bunch of stuff, and I knew a bunch of stuff that happened to my friends, and it was really bad.
Yeah, so I can talk about them, but with me, I didn't have any negative experiences like that, so I can talk about that. But for me, I am okay with that scenario playing out.
And the last one here comes from Mudcrypt. So they firstly asked if you play Pokemon Go, but we've established that you do.
Yes.
And if you answered this earlier, apologies, but again, this is just for the Twitter question. That's why I'm re-asking the answer. What's your favorite Pokemon you've caught, and what's one Pokemon you wish to get in the future?
Oh, I have several Pokemons that I really love. Like, for instance, for Pokemon Go, there are different... If you catch a Pokemon, it's not like immediately the best Pokemon, because they have hidden, or not really hidden, but they have certain stats that are individual for each of them. It's called IVs, individual values. And that goes from 1 to 15 attack, 1 to 15 defense, and 1 to 15 HP. So if you have like a 15, 15, 15 on each part, it's the best Pokemon you could get. And I love chasing them. So I have a lot of hondos. We call that hondos that I have in my Pokedex that I'm really proud of. But I also have some Pokemon that I actually chased because I went to different countries. For instance, I think 7 years ago or so, I went over to America for E3 when it was still a thing. And I actually caught original Pokemon that was only available in America. And it was Tauros, the bull Pokemon. And I remember quite vividly, I was in the cab. And I was been chasing that Pokemon for a whole event. I was going in there. And I was in the cab. I opened up Pokemon Go. I grabbed my camera and was like, guys, maybe if we go to the left right now, we're going to the Tauros. And I got it on camera, me actually capturing Tauros for the first time. And I still have it in my Pokemon storage, that Tauros that I caught in that cap. And even though later on it was way easier to get Tauros from events later on or anything like that, but that's still one of the more memorable Pokemon that I've got. And also certain Pokemons that I caught with certain people, or that I traded because I didn't have it, or that I've been chasing the whole day or maybe longer, that I finally got a specific shiny that I really wanted. For instance, that Pokemon that I first called out, Voltorb, OC in Voltorb, it's one of my favorites, is shiny. It's amazing because it's black. I've been chasing it like the whole day when it got first released, and I only caught one of them. And he is one of my favorite shinies. And I caught multiple Hoseven Voltorbs after that. But that specific one that I chased for so long is one of my favorite, because I actually worked a lot for it to actually get it. So I have a couple of them. I have a couple of Pokemon that brings out a lot of memories that I still have.
Nice. Very good answer. Thank you. Sorry, with the Twitter questions, I say this to everyone. With the Twitter questions, the responses are so crap because they're not my questions.
Oh, yeah. No, also for Pokemon that I still want to catch, there are still a couple of Pokemon that are region locked that are only in Pacific countries. For instance,
really?
There's also one. Yeah, they add new generation of Pokemon and they add them in only Pacific places.
That feels silly.
One of them is Alucha, but he's in Mexican wrestler Pokemon, so it's only available in Mexico right now, and I kind of get
which
that
one
but,
makes sense,
but
yeah.
The thing thing with Pokemon Go is one eventually it will come to you for free, because Pokemon Go wants to make money, of course. So first of all, they will release events that you have to pay for to get a specific Pokemon that is region locked, and later on, maybe 2 years later, you can get it for free. So that's one of the Pokemons that I'm still waiting for, that has been out for like I think 3 years, that I'm waiting till there is an event going on that I can actually catch it in real life. That's one of them. But there
I get
a couple
the whole,
more
like,
that I don't have.
I get the whole region lock thing, but it just feels a bit like, you know, I feel like games like that should be accessible to all, and then when you're, you know, being stuck to go to a certain country and spend all that money to get there, it's like, I don't know, it takes away from it a little
bit. Yeah, but it also gives the memories. For instance, like the Tauros, you know, I had to actually go to America to catch that one. So that Pokemon that I actually caught is more memorable than the ones that I got later in my own country.
True,
it
yeah.
It gives a little bit of value as well.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Well, with that being said then, that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside MC. Thank you so much for joining me. You've been great.
How long do a podcast normally last with different guests? Because I've been thinking we've been talking for
two hours bang on now. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Podcasts typically last between an hour and 2 hours. The longest they've been going recently is about an hour and a half.
Oh damn, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, we've really yapped today. It's been really good.
We did. If we should do something with that.
Oh my
maybe
God.
You should start a podcast.
Wait, you should start a podcast.
Start a podcast with everything going on. I don't think I have time to organize a podcast. There are too many podcasters in the Netherlands right now.
Yeah, well, one more doesn't hurt.
I mean, I guess so. If you can bring your own thing to the table, that's true.
Exactly. Mine's themed about Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Before I do the outro here, I always like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. So for anyone who's listened this far and has enjoyed our yap and wants to find more about you, where can people find you?
Everyone can find me on the same handle almost everywhere. That's LinkTiger on YouTube, TikTok, Twitch, anywhere else. It's 99% all in Dutch. So if you are a Dutch speaker or you want to learn Dutch or just like my voice in general, you can go over there and watch my stuff. And if you don't and maybe hate the language, you can come over to my VTube channel that I have that is only English, called Yellow and Birdie, the color yellow and birdie. As simple as that. Is my VTuber channel with me and my bird that is powered by AI, so I can actually have conversations with him. And I normally stream there hopefully once a week as well if I have time to do a stream. So yeah, that's
perfect. There we go. Well,
thank you so much for having me on.
No worries, and thank you so much for coming on. I was looking forward to this podcast, and it really paid off. We've had such like a well-flowing chat. I love podcasts this where we just yap and it flows perfectly. I love it so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were here for anyone that doesn't know. Once we joined the call, we were yapping, I think, for like 10 minutes with a lot of things that we wanted to discuss on the podcast as well. So we did a little bit of a pre-show without you guys knowing.
Genuinely think it's like I always get people who have a good yap when we first join the call. But I think this is genuinely the first time in a fairly long time where we joined the call and just talked. Because like we said a quick hello, sure, and then we just got into just general conversation, which doesn't happen loads. Sometimes like the guest needs to warm up a little bit, but you warmed up instantly.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's also a good thing on your part. You made me comfortable with like talking and yapping. So yeah.
I try my best. I try my best to be a good host.
Of course.
But with that being said, that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside MC. Thank you all for listening. Stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. Peaces.